The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Hey Summit, thank you so much for tuning in online with us this morning. We hope and pray that your hearts will be encouraged in our time together here in this way. And if you're a guest with us, thank you as well for jumping online with us today. You can go to our website, summitupstate.org/guest. And we would love to have you fill out that virtual guest card just so we can thank you for tuning in and maybe get connected with you or have someone from a Summit congregation near you get connected with you as soon as possible just to let you know that we're praying for you and see if there are any other ways in which we can serve you and or your family. But thank you for tuning in with us. I pray that our hearts will continue to find great encouragement from our time together in the Sermon on the Mount, where we're looking at this concentrated portion of Jesus' teaching, which is so powerful and important and beautiful. And honestly, in this particular season, and every season, but in this particular season, it feels necessary to discover or rediscover and continue to wrestle with what does it mean to truly embrace the way of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to continue in that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. We will be there in just a moment together. But I want us to consider the context of what Jesus is saying. We're kind of coming on the heels last week where Jason looked at the passage with us where Jesus introduces us to the Lord's Prayer and the nature of fasting and the value of that kind of practice in life in the kingdom of God. And I think what we'll see is where we're at today is really closely connected to what we've been reading about Jesus thus far in Matthew's gospel. And it's extremely close to what will come on the heels of what we talk about today at the end of chapter 6. And so we'll point that out, but we'll get to talk about that even more next week. I just want us to see that what Jesus is inviting us into is not something that's just out there on its own as a good idea or something Jesus is demanding because he wants to kind of control how we think and navigate through life. It's who Jesus is. It's what Jesus himself was doing and how he himself was living in God's kingdom reality while here on earth. And I think there's some beauty to that that's important for us to capture. And we'll have the opportunity to do that soon. But one of the things that Jesus is doing, that he always does when he teaches, is he's exposing what's really going on in the heart. And that's good for us. We see that every time Jesus teaches, he has this way of teaching and allowing us to hear what is being said. And regardless of whether you want to or not, the heart gets exposed. If in honesty, you bring yourself before the Lord and say, okay, what is it you're saying? What is it you really want? And I think we see that again here. And Jesus is going to call to attention something that I think would be maybe defined as allegiance. And I want to talk about that for a moment because we live in a world right now that is constantly vying for our allegiance to various things. And we don't use that word much because it's a naturally heavy word or a weighty word. It's got something to it. It's got some oomph to it that I think causes us to realize it's not the kind of word that gets thrown around in everyday use because it's not typically something that comes up in everyday categories of life. I mean, we might jokingly talk about allegiance when it comes to sports teams or clothing brands or our favorite device, whether it's made by Apple or Android or Microsoft or fill in the blank, but there's no real weight to that. We realize with one another that most of the time, there's a lightheartedness to that kind of allegiance. But Jesus is getting after something that I think is really good for us to wrestle with. The heart is always allegiant to something or someone. The human heart is going to find a place to worship. It's going to find a place to anchor down its hope. It's going to find something that defines and shapes and informs the way in which a person navigates life. The heart, the mind, and the will, they will always submit to something. And Jesus, knowing that, on the heels of talking about these kind of spiritual practices and the proper motive behind them and the way in which those are to be practiced in God's kingdom, comes to this text today in Matthew chapter 6 and actually draws out a question for us to consider that has implications on everything else he says. I think Jesus is giving us the opportunity to rightly consider the aim or the trajectory or the placement of our allegiance. Where are we most committed? Where are we most obedient? Where or to what are we most submissive? What are we actually giving ourselves to? And he does so through a category of life that has a unique kind of power in the human experience. He addresses it and raises this question, this right question, by talking about money. And we normally hear that and we're, whoa, heard enough about that. Well, I think Jesus knew that he talks about money quite often. Because he knew the unique power that money has over the human heart and experience. The unique power that sometimes we give to money that can distort the way we perceive the world or God. And I think that's why Jesus addresses it. Money's never the issue for Jesus in and of itself. Money's not the problem. Money's not evil in and of itself. But he knew that the heart had a natural tendency to love money, to put too much trust in money or wealth or possessions or material things. And he's speaking this to a culture that by and large, the financial gain of a particular person on a given day or in a given year was not substantial compared to the wealth that so many of us experience in life. Even now. So all the more important, all the more reason for us to wrestle with what Jesus says. And I think what Jesus is going to invite us to see is this. The aim of our treasure reveals the allegiance of our hearts. Or maybe I could say it this way. The allegiance of our hearts will always be revealed by the placement of our treasures. I want to see that in the text together because I think it's an important thing for us to consider. And I think it has a lot to do with everything else Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount as he introduces a way of life in the kingdom of God that is so otherworldly, so principally different than the natural way we engage this life. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord. There's more that Jesus is about to say, and it's really important, but if you don't grasp what he's saying here, you can easily miss what he's going to continue to articulate through the rest of this chapter. So I think it's important for us to take a moment and allow what Jesus is saying to actually sink down in and kind of read over our hearts and our minds and allow the questioning of what Jesus articulates in truth or the principles he articulates in this truth to kind of press in. Most of us have heard this passage connected to the rest of the chapter that talks about not being anxious and to seek first the kingdom of God. And we'll come back to that in a moment, and we'll actually come back to it a lot more next week. But that's tied in directly to our understanding of what Jesus is saying here. And what he says here is also not detached from what he's been articulating or even his own experience that Matthew has shared with us in his gospel thus far. He's not so much talking about what we have. Jesus is not condemning savings plans or retirement funds or putting barometers on the amount of possessions that are okay or not okay. It's not so much of any of that that's going on, but Jesus is actually talking about our attitude, our motives, or perhaps the allegiance of our lives toward those things. What gets said about our hearts based on how we perceive and see and manage and make decisions in life in regards to money or wealth or possessions or resources, and fill in the blank. Honestly, the principle that Jesus gives can be applied all over the spectrum of life. Everything in life is spiritually minded in God's kingdom. Everything in life comes into submission to the authority of God and His Word. That's what Jesus is inviting us to see. And He's allowing us to see that specifically through this teaching that aims at our understanding of money or wealth. And the first imperative that Jesus gives in this part of Matthew chapter 6 is he says, lay up treasures in heaven. And you can attach to that the subsequent negative, which is don't lay up treasures on earth. So don't lay up treasures on earth, but the imperative is lay up treasures in heaven. And we'll end here in just a few moments thinking about how to do that. But I want us to see something that Jesus is talking about. In God's kingdom, money is not the primary currency, and the accumulation of wealth is not a goal of any kind. Not that kind of wealth, not that kind of influence or power, but rather, Jesus is saying, there is in God's economy an imperishable and unfading treasure, and it's found in God Himself. It's found in who He already is. It's found in His way of life already revealed in the text and now revealed in Christ Himself. And when we grab a hold of that, when we see that, when we attach our hope and security to that, and all of life gets aimed or bound to that, our allegiance is now attached to that, Jesus knows that will actually free us from the blinding power of money or the fleeting securities that it sometimes promises. He's not condemning those things we discussed earlier, like thinking well about money and being good stewards and managing. We talk about that regularly. Those are not things he's condemning, but he's simply posing that where we place our treasure, or perhaps how we manage the treasures of life, is always going to show us something about the real genuine nature of our allegiance to the kingdom of God or to Jesus himself. The genuineness of our hearts in following after Jesus Christ. And money just becomes this unique thing to pay attention to because Jesus was aware of the unique power it had to blind or distort our perception of life. And so he gives this eye illustration, and I think he does so appropriately, but when you first read through it, it feels like a little hard right turn off the context of what he's talking about. But in actuality, I think Jesus is asking us to consider the way that the eye works is the way in which the heart can understand the influence or the perceived power of something like money and wealth or any other category of life. And in reality, I think he's just saying, do you see all of life from God's kingdom perspective? particularly with money or materialism, which is this kind of, one pastor said it's the inordinate desire or dependence upon material things or money that has a particular way of blinding us spiritually and distorting the way we see life. But in an ultimate way, Jesus is actually saying, if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, would you at least consider not just your wealth, but that all of life is spiritually significant and needs to be informed by and shaped by and transformed by God and the authority of His Word. So, would you be willing to consider the way in which you see and perceive life, the way in which you hold on to your treasure, says something about what's really going on inside of you? I mean, you know how I works. Like, the eye and the light in the room are working in cooperation to actually see what's around you. And so there's this way in which you can say, the way in which I perceive money or wealth or every activity of my life, every relationship of my life, every possession of my life, the way I handle that and manage it and see it says something about what's going on in my heart and my mind. Or better yet, where I treasure, what I have hope in, what I have allegiance toward, actually gives information to or shapes how I see everything else. And I think Jesus is fully aware of that. And so he says, listen, you have to consider that if you're going to be a part of the kingdom, then who God is and what God says and God's way of thinking about all things and the treasure that is the kingdom of God has to inform everything else. Everything else comes into submission to that. And so then you get in verse 21, this kind of helpful summary in the nature of life in God's kingdom that I think is extremely helpful and poignant. It's the principle that allows us to see whether or not everything in our lives is actually aimed toward God's glory and the treasure that is ours in Jesus Christ in His kingdom. And he says simply this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think that begins to help us unpack the aim of my treasure, wealth and resources and money or relationships and spouse and children and family relationships or friendships or careers and retirement funds and successes in every category of life. So all these categories of life, if the treasure is anchored in those categories, the heart will follow. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to understand that if the treasure's anchored in the things of God, if your mind and will and heart are actually allegiant to the kingdom of God, that is when all of life comes into view. But if we're trying to compartmentalize, if we're trying to, you know, there's a spiritual category of life, but money and wealth don't get put in that category, and politics doesn't get put in that category, and family doesn't get put in that category, and career doesn't get put in that category. If we try to divvy things out, then what we realize is the heart is divided, and the heart is following after multiple allegiances, and Jesus comes along and says, listen, what is right and good in the kingdom of God is the only place that the heart's allegiance belongs, and the only place where you will find a treasure so surpassing, so filled with joy, so able to give right perspective to the rest of life that nowhere else does your allegiance belong. One commentator said it this way, Jesus is dismantling religious piety that cloaks and covers greed and self-righteousness and worry and more than that by requiring an unwavering allegiance to the values of God's kingdom and an immovable trust in God's faithful provision. Jesus is not being harsh. He's not requiring anything of us that he himself is not willing to live. And perhaps that's the beauty. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, fasting in the wilderness, practicing intimacy with the Father through prayer and giving himself to a position, a posture of utter dependency upon the Father through fasting, these things he's speaking to, he's already himself been living and practicing. When it comes to this place where he's going to have to press against the temptation to put allegiance somewhere else, when the enemy comes along and invites him into all these places where he could shift the allegiance of his heart, if he so chooses to do so, and have some temporal reward of some kind, Jesus holds firm and fast, and his allegiance is aimed and continues to be tethered to the things of heaven and to the things of his Father. And in doing so, he actually demonstrates the principle he's showing to us this very day. He treasured the Father. He treasured the kingdom. He treasured the way of life in eternity. And in doing so, looks at all the things that are being offered and says, that's not worth my allegiance. That's powerful, because Jesus is inviting us into a way of life and thinking that is not distant or detached from how he himself lived in this world. So then the question becomes, how do you and I lay up treasures in heaven? I think this will unfold even more next week, but I just want you to see there's three imperatives in Matthew chapter 6 here at the end. And if you take them backwards, you actually begin to see the principle at work. The first thing that Jesus is going to tell us about laying up treasure in heaven and having allegiance bound to the kingdom of God is actually to seek first the kingdom of God. To order our lives in allegiance to everything that God desires in his kingdom and his righteousness. To submit every aspect of life, careers and money and relationships and possessions and sexuality and politics, all these things that vie for our allegiance, to submit everything to him and his kingdom. And we often amen statements like that. They sound so good. They sound so right. But I think myself included, and perhaps many of you, it would be good for us to regularly consider, are we actually embracing the way of Jesus by firmly setting our allegiance toward him and placing our treasures in the things of his kingdom? The second thing he says, working backwards in Matthew 6, is don't be anxious. And so I think not only do we seek the kingdom of God if we want to lay up treasure in heaven, but we press against anxiety and worry so that we might rightly depend upon the sufficient provision and care of our Father through Christ and his Spirit and his Word and his body, and being able to embrace the realities that God's love for us is one of the ways in which we continue to teach the heart and the mind and the will to press against anxiety and rest in the reality that there is a treasure in Christ that surpasses all other needs. And there is a Father who has demonstrated in the nature and character of his own person through the sacrifice of his Son, through the nature of his kingdom, that every provision, every need, everything that we would desire and long for can be found and met in him. He lacks no good thing that we need. And then lastly, to generously steward our treasures. We deposit more and more into the treasury of God's kingdom, which simply means what we desire is that we would see all of life as an opportunity to allow the Spirit of God to shape and inform our treasure placement. In a sense, that we would say, Lord, would you actively have your hand directing and guarding our treasures and the placement of our treasures so that the aim of our allegiance is always your glory, your righteousness, your goodness, your kingdom. And in that way, Jesus is compelling us to consider the aim of our treasure will always reveal the allegiance of our hearts. Where the treasure is, the heart is there also. And the beautiful, beautiful invitation of God's kingdom is there is a treasure in Jesus Christ that far surpasses any other promise of money or wealth or any other thing that we might find on this earth, and allows us, when we embrace this treasure that is Christ by faith through repentance, it allows us to actually begin to see, perceive, understand, make decisions, and navigate through this life in a way that is pleasing to Him, in a way that reflects His kingdom, in a way that shows that our heart has found a home and a treasure in Him. Father God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And we hope and pray that you would continue to inform and shape and transform, change the way in which we see the things that vie for our attention and our affection and our allegiance, so that in all things of life, we would routinely submit ourselves to your word, routinely submit ourselves to your Spirit, and ask that you yourself would put your hand on our decision making and our planning and our response to people and to things and our possessions and all that you have graciously and generously given to us, that you would keep your hand on all those things so that our allegiance would be to you, our treasure would be found in you, and our lives would be lived toward your glory and for your kingdom purposes, and others would come to see and understand just how amazing, how beautiful, how glorious it is to know the treasure of Christ in the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.